We'll go ahead and get started here. Let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, crisp Lord's Day morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence once again, to feed on your word and sacrament, to worship you with our prayer and our praises, and to enjoy time of just Thanksgiving together as we look ahead to the Thanksgiving holiday this week. But just as Christians, as we look to cultivate a heart of gratitude for all that you have done for us in Christ and through the gospel. And Lord, what we see you doing in and through your church as well. We thank you that your kingdom does grow, that it does expand, that all the promises that you gave to us in the gospel are being fulfilled before our eyes and will be perfectly fulfilled at your second coming. And so we pray, Lord, today that as we think about reasons we have to be thankful as Orthodox Presbyterians, especially this morning, just pray that you would help us to grow in that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, today we get to have kind of a special Sunday school class tied into our annual thank offering. We've been talking about that in the announcements on Sunday mornings. And I want to unpack a little bit today of what the thank offering is for in a general way. We'll talk a little bit about some of those things. But I really want to just highlight and kind of walk through the different things that God is doing in and through our denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. As we begin, though, I'm curious to just ask the question, how many of you have been a member of an OPC church besides Catoctin? Does that make sense? All right. Not very many. So a few have been members of other OPC churches. I asked that because I was expecting that response. It makes me think about the fact that, you know, when we come into a denomination, we usually do that by coming into a particular church. You know, that's kind of our exposure. That's kind of our experience. But one of the realities and I would say blessings of being in a denomination is that even if your only experience is this one particular church, you're actually tied to and connected with all the other things that are going on. You know, maybe a kind of imperfect analogy here, but it's like when you're dating or you marry someone and you think you're just getting that person. You're actually getting the whole family. And that can be good, that can be bad, that can be otherwise, but that's what you're getting. And in a similar way, when you join with Catoctin, you know, you're actually joining with the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You're joining with this broader denomination. And so today what I want to do is sketch a bit of a family picture of what your family looks like and what all God is doing in and through them. So just first off, just to run through some kind of facts and figures, some of you will be familiar with these things, others of you will not, so let me just kind of run through this. But the OPC is made up of about 32,000 members all over the United States and Puerto Rico and a few other places as well. There's about 600 ministers in our denomination, with also about 1,000 elders and about 1,000 deacons. So altogether, we've got about 350 churches and mission works in all 50 states, broken up into 17 different presbyteries. So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of our broader church family. So before we dive into what the thank offering is and how that ties into what our church family is doing, I want to do a Presbyterian polity pop quiz, because what better way to start a Sunday morning, right? So we throw around a lot of these terms, the Presbytery, General Assembly, and some of you know exactly what those are. Some of you probably may not know. So let's just make sure that we all have kind of working categories here. So what are kind of the three different levels in the OPC in terms of church polity? Yeah, so at the local congregational level, Presbyterian just means elder led. So we have teaching and ruling elders who help lead a local congregation, and those are not appointed from the top down. They're elected from amongst the congregation, ordained by the presbytery, which is kind of the next broader level. And let me just say a moment here about levels, how we should think about that. When we draw it on the board, we kind of think session, presbytery, general assembly. So our mind automatically thinks, okay, you know, the general assembly is in charge of everything, and then the presbytery is in charge of less things, and the session is in charge of less things. That's maybe not the best way to think of it. Maybe it's better to think of it as kind of broader circles. So the most particular level is the session level, is the local congregation. That's what we are here at Catoctin. And then you can broaden that out to take in all of the OPC churches in a given area. So we're part of the Presbytery of the Mid-Atlantic. So Northern Virginia, I think all of Maryland, or at least parts of Maryland, are our Presbytery. So all of those churches together, the elders in those churches make up the Presbytery. And then even broader than that, all of the churches that are affiliated with our denomination, you know, all 50 states, Puerto Rico, missionaries overseas, that makes up the broadest church, okay? So those, it's kind of just those categories to hold in your mind. And what the thank offering is doing is helping to support and fund the work of the church broadly, the denomination as a whole. And the way that the denomination does its work, the way that Presbyterians do all of our work, is through committees, right? We love committees. Who doesn't love a good committee? And we've got all sorts of committees, right? We've got committees that do diaconal work at a broad level. We've got a committee of the historian that records and produces material about the history and culture of the OPC. There's a wonderful committee on ministerial care that helps to pastors to think through, you know, retirement issues, health issues, counseling issues, just some wonderful things that go on. But when we talk about the thank offering, we're focusing in on the three main committees of the OPC. Okay, worldwide outreach happens through three main committees. Does anybody know what they are? Exactly. Foreign missions, home missions, and Christian education. Those are the three main committees that the OPC works through in the task of worldwide outreach. And so today what I want to do is to look at each of those committees and to just share with you the work that is going on in those different committees. So I've put together a handout here. I've got 25 of these, so we should have just about enough for everybody. Maybe a little bit of sharing can take place. But what I've tried to do here is to go through each of these committees and just to kind of list out in bullet point form, here's what God is doing through their work, okay? And you can see there is a lot of material here. Some of this, again, is going to be familiar to those of you who have been at KCPC or in the OPC for a while, but I'm guessing there's going to be some things on these lists that are new to all of us, and so I want to just kind of let you feel the force of the breadth of what God is doing in and through our denomination. As that's being passed out, let me just say something about the thank offering and how this ties in. You know, so the thank offering is basically one of the ways that we as a denomination help to fund all of the work that I'm going to be talking about. It's not the only way. You know, the General Assembly will, when they're putting together a budget, go to the presbyteries and go to the local churches and say, hey, here's how much we're looking to raise for the work that we want to do, and here's how much we would need to receive from you as local churches and presbyteries to be able to do that work. And so a lot of the funding comes from the denomination asking us to give, you know, $25 per member for this and $30 per member for that, and that type of thing. And so we get the chance to participate in that work as a congregation, as a presbytery, as a whole. But about a fourth of the budget for worldwide outreach comes from just voluntary gifts, not from the church as kind of a corporate body, but from us as individual members of the church. And that's what the thank offering is. So the thank offering, each year we do it in November, gives us the opportunity to do two things. One, it gives us the opportunity to practically, generously, joyfully, sacrificially join in the work that God is doing around the world to see the gospel expand. And we'll go through what that looks like. But then the second thing it allows us to do is to be reminded of what God is doing in the world. And I would say that's almost equally as valuable, right? Because the tendency is we have those, that broad level of what God is doing around the world, what He's doing in our region. But what do we tend to focus on and sometimes even fixate on? What God is doing right here, you know? And if things are going well at our church, we feel really, really good. If we're struggling, we feel really, really bad. And we can lose sight of the kingdom dynamics that we're going to hear about in the sermon this morning. And so this is a good chance for us to just be reminded that God is at work. The kingdom is growing. The gospel is going forth. So how is that happening in and through the Orthodox Presbyterian Church? Well, let's start by talking about the Committee on Christian Education. The Committee on Christian Education is obviously designed to see the gospel passed on to the next generation. So there's a particular focus on discipling and catechizing our children, on training up ministers to serve in the churches, but also just to train and equip Christians as a whole. I was doing some reading, you know, separately from this on just some of the like statistics and demographics of the growth or shrinking of Christianity in our country. And they were talking about how, you know, we often think about if the church is going to grow, it has to be bringing in people who have never heard the gospel. And of course, that is part of our commission, right? But they were also talking about how a lot of the challenges to the church in terms of the church declining in America in particular is from not keeping our own, right? Not keeping our own children, not discipling and training up. There's this kind of critical window of, you know, 15 to 25 years old where most people make the decision of where they're going to be going theologically, religiously. And it's not that people don't ever, you know, vary from that later on in life or earlier in life, but for most people, that's the window. And so we in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church want to make sure that we are discipling our children and that we are giving resources to help families and churches to do that work. And so there's a lot of different ways that that happens. One of the ways that that happens is by producing Sunday school materials. If you have volunteered in our Sunday school ministry here, or if you have kids who are in the Sunday school, you'll see them coming home with this curriculum, you know, paperwork and catechism stuff, scripture memories. This is all put together by our denomination, in partnership with another conservative Presbyterian denomination, the PCA, through our publishing arm, Great Commission's Publications. And they put together a lot of wonderful material for, you know, toddlers all the way through teenagers to help help our kids learn the big story of Scripture, the redemptive historical story of Scripture, to learn about Christ, to learn Scripture, memory, catechism memory, all of those things. That's one of the ways that the Committee on Christian Education seeks to equip the churches for these things. It also produces a number of magazines and things. And so the first one that you're probably aware of is New Horizons, right? If you are a member of KCPC, you should get a copy of this at your house for free. If you don't, let me know and we can make sure to get you on that list. We also always have some extra copies sitting on the table out front. Those are free to grab. So why does the denomination spend the time to produce a magazine and then to give it out for free? Well, it's because they really want us as local churches to be aware of what God is doing in the broader church. So in every issue, they're going to be updating you on what is God doing in Christian education, home missions, foreign missions, how can you be praying for people in the denomination. It'll also produce, you know, articles that are kind of theological and practical. It'll give you, you know, book reviews in the back as you're looking for Christmas gifts for each other, right? It's just a great resource that is put together and put in your hands by the Committee on Christian Education. I draw particular attention to this month's issue because it's all about the thank offering. And not only will it give you articles about the thank offering, but there are also three maps in the magazine that you can pull out and stick on your fridge so that you can see what is God doing around the world and around the country through the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So this is produced for all members of the OPC. What you may not know as well is that the committee also puts together every year a journal called Ordained Servant. And this is sent to every pastor in the OPC. It's made available to elders and deacons. And as you can tell, there are no pictures in ours. But they have a lot of wonderful articles dealing with, you know, things that we're wrestling with as pastors, thinking through things theologically, translations of works that have not been translated and things. And so it's a wonderful way to just help us as pastors to continue to grow, to continue to learn, and to kind of be engaging together with issues in the culture and issues in theology. So that is made available to us as well. If you go to the OPC website, first thing you should notice is that the website itself is a great resource. I don't know if you've ever been to opc.org, but not only can you know, look at, you know, where are the churches and things, not only can you find, you know, the Westminster Confession of Faith and Book of Church Order, things like that, But there are a lot of great articles there. And for years, I don't know when this started, but for years, they've run this thing where people can, from anywhere in the world, can send in questions, and an OPC pastor will just write up an answer. And they're usually like a page long. And the topics that they cover are just wide ranging. And so if you've ever had a question, or someone comes to you with a question, you know, why do we do this, or why don't we do that, or what do you think about X, Y, or Z? And you go, I don't know how to answer that. Can always come talk to, you know, your elders, of course. But I would suggest too, go to the OPC website. They've got a kind of, you know, index of topics. You can also just search for keywords and you'll probably find something related to your question that you can help send to someone. And you know, it's going to be coming from an Orthodox Presbyterian perspective. So some great resources there. They also produce the Children's Catechism, that we use, different tracts that we can use in evangelism, pamphlets explaining what the OPC is about, books about the history of the OPC and theology. So lots of materials that they are working on editing, publishing, and producing. Another resource, which we're all very familiar with, are the songbooks that our denomination uses. And we have two of them, right? The Trinity Hymnal was first produced by the OPC back in the 50s or 60s, I think, and then was later revised in partnership with the PCA back in 1990. And then recently as well, we've added to that the Psalter Hymnal. And you may not know the story of where that came about. Basically, the OPC decided, you know, we love singing these hymns, and we have some psalms in our red hymnal as well, but we really want to be singing all of the hymns that God has given us. Let's work on a new Psalter Hymnal. And the OPC said, okay, that's our project, and we're going to start by working on the hymnal part, and then we'll do the Psalter part. Well, then we got a couple years into that and found out that a sister denomination, the URC, our Dutch Reformed Brothers, had the same idea. They had said, hey, we need to have a new Psalter Hymnal. We'll start by working on the Psalter part, and then we'll go to the hymns later. And so we sort of looked at each other and said, hey, can we just, you know, look on your sheet? You know? And so we partnered together to produce the Psalter Hymnal. It's produced with the URC and the OPC, and has been a great partnership and something that you'll find in both of our churches. So that's been a great blessing broadly. And it's always funny to me. I come from outside the OPC, and I'm always impressed with the material they put out. But being a small denomination, there's always I don't know, there's kind of this pessimistic attitude. And so I think when they produced the Psalter Hymnal, they printed like a few thousand copies because they thought, you know, no one's going to want this. And then they sold out within, you know, like hours kind of thing. And I think they're in their sixth printing or something, and they've just continued to have to print more because all sorts of churches beyond our borders have wanted to use this resource. That's just kind of captures the OPC to me. But it's been a wonderful thing, and the Committee on Christian Education helps to produce that, print it, edit it, all of those things. Kind of another category now. So those are all resources that the Committee on Christian Education is putting together and putting in your hands, right? For catechesis, for worship, for church life, for pastors. But another big thing that the committee does is to provide tangible, on-the-ground training. And it does this in a couple of different ways. So one thing that it does is to help allow men to serve in internships in the OPC. Most churches in the OPC are pretty small, right? You know, we're not the biggest church in the world, but we're a pretty good-sized church for an OPC church. And so if you are a pastor serving somewhere and you've got 50 people, you probably don't have the resources to hire an intern for the summer or an intern for the year, do you? Well, what the denomination wants to do is to help local churches to be able to benefit from having an intern and help guys who are training for ministry have the chance to serve in a local church. And so what they do is they provide a program where they'll help cover the cost for an intern to go serve in a church. And those can be summer internships. Those can be year-long internships. Sometimes, you know, the costs are kind of split between the church and the denomination. But it's a way of pooling our resources together so that no matter what your size as a church, no matter what your situation is as a church, you can have the benefit of having men serve in your congregation and also helping to prepare men for that. And I'm a big fan of this because I've benefited from it. I was a summer intern here through this program. Did a year internship here last year through this program. The church I was in Grand Rapids had a number of men serving in internships. There is nothing like getting to actually step in and do the work, right? When you go to the doctor, if he talked to you and said, "Oh yeah, I studied hard at school, but I just skipped the whole residency thing," you know, you'd be inching towards the door, right? And the same is true for pastors. We're not supposed to be just academics. It's a hands-on job. Yes, you need the theology and the academic training. That's an important piece, but it's not the whole thing. And so part of what we do as a denomination is we require men to have done some sort of an internship before stepping into a call, and we help to make that possible through things like the ministerial intern program. Kind of a step before that, there are two ways that the OPC helps young men to think about whether or not they're called to serve as pastors. So internship programs is one way of kind of feeling that out, but usually that happens once you felt the call and you've gone to seminary, or maybe you've even finished seminary and now you're stepping into an internship. So that's very valuable. But ideally, you'd like guys to be thinking through that call and kind of being vetted long before that, wouldn't you? Well, the OPC has a program for that, right? Every year, the OPC puts on something called the Timothy Conference. And what this is designed for young men who are ages, 16 to 21, so kind of late high school, college age, who think, maybe I'm called to ministry, or I'm not sure if I'm called to ministry. Maybe others have kind of seen that in me, and I'm trying to test that out. And local churches can basically recommend to the denomination, hey, we have a young man who is trying to evaluate whether or not he might be called to the gospel ministry. And so every year what they do is they pull through those men and invite them to come to a conference. And the denomination pays for all of it. They will fly you out to wherever it is. They will give you lodging. They'll give you food. And they kind of rotate where it meets, but it usually meets at one of about three or four different seminaries. So it gives young men a chance to go and visit a seminary. There are also OPC pastors and men from the denomination who will come and do kind of talks and breakout sessions, thinking through what does it mean to be a pastor? What is the OPC all about? How can you be preparing for ministry? How can you be testing your call for ministry? And you get the chance as well to meet, 20, 30 other young guys who are working through those questions. I'm a big fan of this program because I got to go on this from this church, right? This church recommended me to go back when I was thinking about ministry. I wasn't sure about if it was going to be mission work or if it was going to be here in the States. I wasn't sure if it was going to be PCA where my background was or in the OPC. That conference really helped me to think through some things and ended up getting you guys stuck with me now. But I'm a fan of it. So that was a big blessing in my life. Something else you may not know about, I think you probably heard of the Timothy Conference, but there's another kind of sister conference that happens called the Shiloh Institute. And this is kind of for guys who are at the next stage of life. If you're in your senior year of college all the way through the first 2 years of seminary, if you're kind of post that high school, college age, and beginning to think about ministry, every year up in, is it New Hampshire? I think it's in New Hampshire. Somebody has a house up there in the mountains, and similar kind of thing to the Timothy Conference. Churches can recommend young men who are thinking through these things to go to the Shiloh Institute. They stay together, they eat together, they bring in outside pastors and professors to talk them through what it means to be a pastor, ministry in the OPC. They have to kind of read some books, write some essays. It's a wonderful way of helping those guys to prepare for ministry if they're on that track, or to discern if that's the right track for them or not. One last thing I'll mention is the Ministerial Training Institute of the OPC, or MTIOPC. We love acronyms. So those of you who are in the military, will feel right at home in the OPC or any Presbyterian church because they'll have all the acronyms down. We always kind of joke, Presbyterian chaplains are the masters of acronyms because they've got both worlds. So the MTIOPC is basically something that provides kind of modular, intensive, seminary-level courses to men. And it kind of is doing two things. So on the one hand, it's a way of helping guys who maybe have gone to seminary, but some people don't necessarily go to a Reformed seminary, or they go to a seminary and they don't really know the OPC, but they want to come into the OPC. And there's some questions that they have or kind of gaps that need to be filled. Well, the MTI OPC gives us a chance to provide that training and education to kind of supplement the seminary training that men might have. So if someone went to seminary but they didn't get the languages, for example, well, they can study Greek and Hebrew and Latin at MTI OPC. Or if they've gone through seminary, but it was a Baptist seminary, and they're trying to understand all the Presbyterianism, they can come and do a class on the Book of Church Order or Presbyterian Polity. Really riveting, riveting material. But it's a way of helping men be well fit for ministry in the OPC. So it fills that need. But there's another way that is used, and that is for elders, deacons, ministers to be able to do classes to kind of further their own education. And again, if you are a pastor or an officer in the OPC, those classes are free for you. They make that available to help men grow. So they'll do classes on preaching. You know, if you've been preaching for a number of years, but you really want to grow and make sure that you're doing things well, you can go to an intensive class with other ministers and work through those things. Or if there was a class last year on how do we reach out to people with special needs in our churches and in our communities. Well, that's a great thing for a pastor to go and kind of work through. So they make that available to provide ongoing training as well for our officers. So those are some of the things that the Committee on Christian Education does. As you can see, there's a lot of ground there. And what you give in the thank offering helps to make all of those things possible. Secondly, as you can see, the list gets a little shorter with each of these, so I think we'll make it here. The second committee is the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension. You've heard more about this committee probably in the last year because we've been able to send out our founding pastor, Pastor Biggs, to work with this committee. And so the first thing that I want to draw your attention to that this committee does is to partner with presbyteries to help support and identify regional home missionaries. Now, as you know, a regional home missionary is someone who works at that presbytery level. So you've got the local church, and then the next kind of band, the next broader band is the presbytery. There are 17 of those throughout the country, and those are usually made up of, you know, one or two states or regions and all the churches in that area. Well, partially because a lot of OPC churches are smaller. If we only planted a church when a church grew to be, you know, 200 people and then planted, we wouldn't have a whole lot of church plants. And there are sometimes areas where there are people who want to plant a church, but they're, you know, an hour, 2 hours from the next church over. And so it's not really feasible to kind of have a mother-daughter church situation. So you do have, you know, churches that will plant churches, but what we also want to do is to pool our resources again as a presbytery to be allowing us to plant churches together and to be able to meet the needs where there is maybe a desire for an OPC church, but not the resources on the ground. And so a regional home missionary is kind of a, you know, itinerant pastor, as it were, who gets to work with all the different churches in that region and all the different mission works that are going on. And the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension helps to identify those men. It helps to train those men. It helps to encourage and support those men and hold them accountable. It helps to train those men. It also helps to fund those men. So, for example, with our regional home missionary, half of his support comes from the presbytery level and half comes from the denominational level. So all of the OPC churches are involved not just in what's happening in their local church or even what's happening in their kind of the next band out, the presbytery, but we are all helping to see churches be planted around the country. We're helping to plant churches in California, and churches in California are helping to plant churches in Maryland and Virginia. How cool is that? Right? This is the broader family that we get to be part of, and the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension helps to make that possible. They also kind of provide that point of contact. If you are living in, you know, middle of nowhere, Virginia, you're 3 hours from the next OPC church, but you've been listening to R.C. Sproul, and you've heard about this guy, Machen, and you think, I'd love to have an OPC church in my backyard. You call the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension, and they get these contacts all the time. And they're able to work with those people, help identify other people in the area, and say, well, actually, there's a guy 30 minutes away who called us last week. Let me put you in touch. Let me send the regional home missionary to meet with you guys. Maybe you can start a Bible study. Maybe God will do something. And if you read through New Horizons each month, you'll see all those kinds of stories being played out. And God working from a phone call to see a church being planted down the road. It's really cool to see how God works. And so the committee works to kind of field those things and identify where God is working, with a particular emphasis in trying to see OPC churches planted in cities and urban areas to reach the most people possible. Although, of course, we plant churches all over. Another thing that this committee does is to help connect churches with pastors, right? And they do this through keeping a running list of churches that are looking for a pastor and also providing pastors who are looking for a church a way of getting their information out there to the churches. So if you've ever had to serve on a pulpit search committee or something, you'll know how daunting it can be to try and identify, okay, you know, who are the men that we should be looking at to consider calling to our church? How do we know, you know, where they stand on these things? How do we get connected with them? And so this is a very important resource of helping churches, especially if you're maybe the only church for a good stretch around, or you're not close to a seminary or something. This is a way of, again, pooling the resources of the broader church to help make those connections possible so that churches can have pastors and pastors can have churches to serve in. Another thing that this committee does is to work directly with the seminaries that a lot of our ministers will come from. And they'll help to introduce seminary students to the OPC. And one of the ways they do this is with something called the Readiness for Ministry Seminar. I was able to be part of this when I was at seminary at Puritan in Grand Rapids. It was kind of a funny experience because a number of us got the email saying, hey, the guys from the denomination are going to be here. If you're at all interested in ministry in the OPC and just want to learn more, you know, you can sign up here. It'll be this night. We all thought, oh, cool. This will be great. So we all signed up and it was going to be kind of in midterms, but you know, it's one evening. We can do that. And then like the week ahead of time, we get an email saying, all right, so here's the text you need to be prepared to give a talk on before, the heads of all these big committees and whatever, and it was kind of a nerve-wracking experience, but it ended up being a really good thing. And they gave us a chance to open a passage of scripture, and then they gave us feedback on our, you know, preaching and teaching. And then they sat us around as young men, and they said, okay, you're a session. Here's a counseling situation. Talk about it. And we'll just sit here and listen. And then give you some thoughts, you know. And it was a chance in real time to kind of think about, okay, well, what is it like to be a pastor and to gain wisdom from these men? And they took the time to let us go around and share our stories so that, you know, we got to meet the guys who were working with all of these committees at the denominational level, and they got to know us. And they track with us. It's been amazing to me. I've had the chance to bump into a number of these guys, you know, in the years since. And I kind of think, how many of these people do they meet? They're not going to remember me. And they always do. You know, and they can always ask, you know, how are you doing? How is this going? So it's really cool that they are working to help identify men who might be a good fit for the OPC. Another thing that the committee does is to provide training seminars for church planting and for church revitalization. So if you are involved in the church work of church planting, maybe you're a regional home missionary, maybe you're a local church that wants to birth a daughter church, they'll put on these conferences every year that you can go attend and you can sit down with other people who are doing it or have done it or want to do it and share ideas, what works, what doesn't, what have you learned, and allows you to kind of have the training you need for that. They also produce a great manual for church planting that any church can pick up and use. And something that they're starting to do now, this is a new thing, but they're trying to create kind of a parallel thing for church revitalization. If it's a church that's kind of gone into decline or has struggled to grow, what they're trying to do is to help equip pastors of healthy, thriving churches to be able to come alongside a church that is struggling and maybe help them work through, you know, what do we need to do to be faithful and fruitful in our context now? And so there's all sorts of ways in which we want to be practically Presbyterian. We want to actually be connected and actually helping each other. And the work of these committees is not just kind of an abstract thing out there. It really is putting real people in touch with real needs and opportunities and allowing God to work through that. Beyond that as well, there's just the general work of assisting and equipping local churches for evangelism and for outreach. Again, putting out whether it's tracts or different materials or, you know, coming and speaking at the church or working with the pastors, trying to help get that work of evangelism going in and through the local church. One resource as well that I'll highlight, some of you are probably familiar with this, others may not be, but there is the denominational website, opc.org, but another website that you should check out is called outwardopc.com. This was started a couple of years ago by the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension, basically trying to create resources and kind of compile resources that would be useful for OPC churches in doing evangelism and outreach, especially in our local context. So this is focused on North America, and it's trying to find resources that, you know, sometimes as a Reformed person, you find a resource and it's like, ooh, this part of this is really good, but, you know, we'd have a different way of approaching that, you know, and you kind of have to kind of sort through it, those of you who do, you know, homeschooling maybe have found that with curriculum, it's like, this part is great, but I wish it didn't have that, or I wish it had this. And, you know, you kind of find yourself in that dynamic. Well, Outward OPC is trying to kind of sift through all of that and say, here's what's going to be useful to you as a local congregation to really be intentional in the work of evangelism. And so they have a blog that they update regularly. They have a podcast that they do interviewing church planters, pastors, evangelists. It's a wonderful thing to be tracking with if you want to be motivated and equipped in the work of evangelism. And then one last thing that I'll mention is the OPC Loan Fund for Buildings. So the OPC has a lot of smaller churches. And when you're looking to build a building or purchase something, it can be expensive and difficult to do that. And so part of what the denomination does is to pool financial resources to provide loans to churches to help them, you know, purchase land or buy a building or something like that. You may very well be hearing more about that opportunity in the years to come, right? Because that's right where we are. We live in a very expensive area. We don't have the resources to just go out and buy any building in town. But we have extra resources at our disposal because we're part of a family. We're part of a broader church. And so the work of this committee can help churches like us to be able to plant a flag and establish ourselves tangibly in a community as an outpost for the gospel. So we can do more together than we could do alone. And that committee helps to facilitate that. Okay, lastly, the Committee on Foreign Missions. So it's really kind of two things I want to just highlight here. The Committee on Foreign Missions does foreign missions. And it does it really in two ways. First, by overseeing and funding full-time missionaries. And we have missionaries in all different parts of the world, in Asia, in Ethiopia, in Haiti, in Quebec, Uganda, Ukraine, Uruguay. We also help provide theological training in India, Austria and Switzerland, and Colombia as well. So let me just say a word about kind of how the OPC does this, because it's a little different than some denominations. A lot of denominations, if you want to be a missionary, then, you know, maybe you meet with the elders or the denomination and kind of get approval. But if you feel a call to go to Zimbabwe, then you just say, hey, I feel called to go to Zimbabwe. Maybe you get approved by the church leadership, and then you go visit churches and you try to raise money, and then you go, right? Well, in the OPC, it's done a bit differently. Not because, you know, there's only one right way to do it, but we want to be intentional in how we do things. And the vision of the OPC is really to say, we want to go to places where there isn't already a kind of healthy, functioning, reformed denomination. And our goal is to, when we go somewhere, is to help create a functioning, healthy, reformed denomination, a sister church in Zimbabwe or wherever. And so what they want to do is to not just send an individual here and an individual there, but to raise up teams of people that can go and work in one area for a period of time and work themselves out of a job. You know, ideally, we won't be there 100 years from now. Ideally, we'll be there to help see a church grow, identify local men, be doing outreach and evangelism, supporting themselves financially. And then they would be a sister church with whom we might cooperate, but we're not trying to run the show. You know, we want to see them seeing the gospel go forward in their own country, in their own context, in their own language. And so it's a very focused kind of approach. We tend to say, these are the fields we're working in. And if you are called to mission work in the OPC, then we'll try to help find a fit for you in those contexts. Now, we do have people who are in the OPC and maybe they have a particular call to one place and the OPC doesn't work there. And so sometimes what we'll do is they will continue to be in the OPC, but they might work with a sister denomination like the PCA that may have a field somewhere else. So, for example, in Ukraine, that's exactly what's happening. We have an OPC pastor who is serving with the PCA, MTW, over in Ukraine. And so we try to create those opportunities as well. But the idea is to be focused on a few of these fields. And again, if you make a habit of looking through New Horizons or just looking at your bulletin, looking at Shepherd's Voice, you'll see regular prayer requests and updates of what God is doing, you know, in Uganda, in Uruguay, in Haiti, in Quebec, all over. And then the second piece of that is we have this thing where we help to provide training for seminaries that are established in India, Austria, and Switzerland, and Colombia. There's a lot of guys with PhDs in the OPC, and so we can send them around the world to help train and equip pastors in those different areas. The next thing that the Committee on Foreign Missions does is to help provide opportunities, not just for that full-time mission work, but for short-time missions, for short-term missions as well. And there are a number of ways that this happens. One of the most well-known, something that our church has participated in the past, and Lord willing, we'll be able to get back into here in the future, now that we're past COVID and all of that, is the ministry of the Boardwalk Chapel. So for, I don't know how many years, decades, I think it's the Presbytery of New Jersey owns a property on the boardwalk in New Jersey. Very popular area. And for years, churches from all over the denomination will send teams. Sometimes it's, you know, young people, you know, college students, but, you know, I think anyone can go really. And they're trained in personal evangelism, and they hold services every night on the boardwalk, and they go out and they talk to people on the boardwalk, on the beach, and just share the gospel with them. And God has really worked through that ministry, both to see the gospel go forward to those that are coming to the boardwalk, but also to help train and equip teams from all over the denomination to do that work where they are, right? So it's a catalyst for evangelism, not just in that one spot, but wherever churches are coming from. So that's been a tremendous outreach of the OPC. Another thing that the denomination will do is to help raise up teams to work with disaster relief. So you may have heard a couple months ago, there was a sister church in Kentucky that had flooding, wiped out their building. And this was a very small church with very few resources. And within a few months, they were able to not only be back in their building, but to have served other businesses and churches that had needs in the community and really be a light, because people from all over the country came pouring in to this little town of Neon, Kentucky, to help them get back on their feet, to help be the hands and feet of Christ. This committee helps to facilitate those things. It also provides opportunities for foreign trips, you know, teaching English in Quebec or South Korea, working with missions teams doing, you know, outreach for young people in Ukraine, you know, all sorts of opportunities to send people to do, you know, short-term missions trips, as you might think of it. Another thing that this committee does is to help identify and train missionary associates. If you look through the New Horizons, you may see that term pop up here and there. What that is someone who, it's kind of something between a short-term and a long-term commitment. You know, it's usually at least a month, I think it's usually at least 3 months, kind of up to a year or two. But if you're someone who says, you know, you're kind of taking a gap here and looking for a way of serving, or trying to feel out, am I maybe called to full-time mission work? The Missionary Associate Program is a way of kind of testing that out or serving in some way. So that might look like going to Uganda for 6 months and helping with childcare and hospitality for the missionaries that are working there full time. Or it might look like going to, you know, Japan for a year or two and serving alongside the missionaries that we have serving there as well. So there's all sorts of opportunities. And then the last thing is the Mobile Theological Mentoring Corps, MTMC. I told you. And so this is basically, again, pooling the resources that we have for theological scholarship. It's amazing how many pastors of these little OPC churches will be, you know, really gifted scholars in, you know, some area and have training and be writing in these areas. And they're not teaching in a seminary, but they could be. And so the denomination helps to identify those men and then send them as teams all over the world to help train churches and pastors who maybe don't have a seminary education. And so that's just a flyby overview, right? But I hope you see that God is at work in the OPC. And God is at work through the OPC. I think sometimes we can be kind of hard on ourselves. You know, we feel small. There's other churches that are bigger. But we should be very grateful for what God is doing in our midst. And there are all sorts of ways that as a broader church, we get to pool our resources to see the kingdom go forward, to see the kingdom grow. So what I just want to leave you with as we close is an encouragement. First, it's Thanksgiving. This is called a thank offering for a reason. We should be looking at what God is doing and just be really thankful, really grateful for what God has done in our midst. Secondly, be prayerful. What I've just given you would be a great thing to stick in your Bible or on your fridge and just pray for these different ministry opportunities. Pray for God to bless all of the ways that God works here. And then finally, be generous. We have an opportunity this Sunday and next Sunday to tangibly participate in this work, to give to all of the important opportunities that I've shared with you today, and to see the gospel go forward in those ways. So I hope that's been a help to you to maybe just broaden your vision of what God is doing in our little family here in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Any questions? All right, let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your church. We thank you that, as Jesus promised us, that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And we know, Lord, that as Orthodox Presbyterians, we are just one small part of your body. But we thank you that you've given us a role to play, you've given us work to do, and that as we look around us, we can be so encouraged to see the work that you're doing to educate those who are in the church, to catechize them, to train them and equip them for worship and service and witness in the world. We thank you for the way that churches are being planted and evangelism is being taught and people are learning how to share their faith with those around them. And we thank you that that work is not confined just to our country or our people, but to all the nations, going out to all the peoples. And we thank you for the work that's being done there. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the thank offering that's being taken up, not only here at our church, but at all of our churches around the country, that those funds would be given generously, sacrificially, and joyfully, and that in years to come, we would see an abundant harvest from what is being sown here and now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.